Extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here.
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, Tom Bogert, David Goss, Matt Doyle. Full house for the final show of 2023.
Tom.
Scoops, Dr. Scoops. What's up, Tom? How's it going?
Is anything good? I think things are fine. Things are the way they are.
You found the train again.
I know.
I thought you forgot about
bulls.
Us.
No, yeah. No, the Malaise already gripping you from head to toe.
Great for you this time of year, though? Like this, you
my eyes
own.
Hurt.
Yeah.
My eyes hurt. And I
how many phones
I
do you have?
Just one. I'm a
that
loyalist.
Seems like a mistake.
I will say at Cup, I was with some of my colleagues and I was talking to editor, and it's like everyone's like, oh yeah, just get through Cup and then like the season's over, can't wait. And I look at him and just like a dead stare. He's like, you know what the good news is for next week? You're the only person I have to edit because everybody else gets to take time off. I was like, yeah, that is great. I can't wait.
Tom heard that. He looked over. He said, Mackenzie Gain's about to get traded. The season just began.
You do need to. You need the like A phone and the B phone. And you need to let people know which phone they're going to and encourage them
nice,
to try to
nice.
I've been trying
make
to
make a step up.
Been trying to like sprinkle in enough legwork to my fiance about me getting a flip phone, because if I just come home with a flip phone, that's suspect. She should be asking questions.
She's so been, the Sopranos. She knows
I've been saying it for a couple months now. It's like I kind of just want to have a flip phone that like only you and my family and like close friends have the number to. But like I need to do enough legwork before I can just come home with a burner phone.
Gotcha.
That 3 a.m. Kip Keller information
yeah.
coming
that's
through.
That's coming to the flip phone. That's family.
Yeah, what an existence for her, by the way. When, you know, like, my wife hears a buzz on the phone. She knows it's nothing, probably. He turns over. She's like, you turn right over right now. Let that agent sit on red. It's the middle of the night, Tommy Scoops.
Tom's like, yeah, the Serbian market's just open.
It's an international business,
by the way,
baby.
Congratulations to another partner in soccer.
Yes.
Our good, great friend, Kalen Carr. Go ahead.
He is engaged to be married.
Woo!
He is betrothed. I don't know if that's the proper
name. Put it on Instagram, so it's public.
Yeah, I mean,
we got a screenshot of the Instagram.
Yeah.
he's the Graham reporter, so I feel okay. You know, he put it on public. It's not private, so I feel
and also
okay saying
just,
this.
I think shout out to Tom and Kalen that they're going to do a doubleheader. They're right, getting married, same venue, same day. It's just a quick turnover, single ticket entry, though, right?
See you in Asbury. Yeah, day night doubleheader.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, I'm the opener for Kalen.
Nice. Yeah, it's amazing to see. Well done to Kalen. I think he did it in orca-infested waters, so that's
usual.
Also...
He lives dangerously.
Yeah, didn't see any orcas, didn't come close to interacting with any orcas that weren't drawn on a elevator wall, but congratulations to him. What a life moment for our guy. Big show today. We'll talk Super Draft with Travis Clark, the expert of all experts from Top Drawer Soccer, and of course, you follow him on Twitter. He gives you all the coverage from the college game. Talk through the Super Draft. That's at 3 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday, December 19th. It's on MLS Season Pass. It is free. I'm hosting the show. Sasha Kleschen is on the desk with me. So is Doyle, Miguel Gallardo, Devin Kerr, Kalen Kyle doing interviews with us. We will have the entirety of the first round. So dreams becoming a reality for a number of college players. But then, of course, the work starts from there because it is an uphill battle to make it in the pro game. And we're also going to go through Tommy Scoops' notebook here, and I'm just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. There's so much. And in the mailbag, we have a wonderful email from the Cuppy Cup crew, a group of guys who goes to every MLS Cup and managed to steal a scarf off of my shoulders in Columbus. Steal is maybe...
They had the...
That's artistic
strength
license.
To stand up to the moment, unlike you.
That's
and therefore,
true.
You didn't
I handed him the scarf. Yeah. So it wasn't.
Did they
exactly
ask
a
you
steal.
For a picture instead of Jonathan Mensah? Was that who this was?
There was a picture. It was sent to the email. Would you like to see it?
Jonathan Mensah rumors coming up later in the show.
Oh,
great tease. Great tease.
Did the team really mean to sign Andrew Wiebe? That's the question.
Well, all right. Big news in Major League Soccer. We talked about what came out of Board of Governors when it comes down to the some of the competition stuff, when it's the substitutions, the amount of time you have coming off the field, or injuries. and some of the roster situations. There was news that dropped on Friday as well. I'm going to read the statement to you. Major League Soccer announced today that at its recent Board of Governors meeting, its clubs voted to have MLS Next Pro teams represent the organization in the 2024 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. MLS will coordinate with the U.S. Soccer regarding participation in the tournament. This decision will provide emerging professional players with additional opportunities for meaningful competition. The move also benefits the MLS regular season by reducing schedule congestion, freeing up 6 midweek match dates. The inclusion of MLS Next Pro clubs in the Open Cup follows the involvement of dozens of MLS Next Pro players in the 2023 tournament, where they were called up to MLS first teams. MLS remains committed to working with U.S. Soccer to evolve and elevate the Open Cup for everyone involved in the years ahead. So, it's a sad day for me to see MLS clubs out of the Open Cup. We love the Open Cup. We love the tournament. We have always covered it deeply on this show. And watching MLS teams navigate the often tricky, bizarre, fascinating waters of this competition has truly been a joy. We were the post-game show for a number of years, even. We basically begged for that opportunity. We were begging for any opportunity to be completely fair, but went on site and were able to interview. I danced with Latif Blessing at times. We had some wonderful Brown Liquor specials afterwards. You know, saw the dichotomy that we talked about after MLS Cup, the best side of this game, which is seeing a team and an organization and people reach the pinnacle, but also seeing what it's like when you come close and can't quite get it done. So it was really fun to see amateur, I think of Christos FC, named after a liquor store, for instance, and lower division sides get a crack at MLS teams, often in their buildings. Those were wonderful moments. The competition is still the Open Cup. It will be different in 2024. I will still be watching it. I will still love it. This time, MLS Next Pro teams will be the Cinderella stories, and hundreds of young players from academies and otherwise are going to get their crack at USL Championship teams, USL League One teams, and amateur teams as well. So while we're sad to see MLS teams go, I know that the decision will be reevaluated at the end of 2024. At least that's what my understanding is. And we will watch the USM Cup once again in 2024 with all of you. So, all right, Super Draft coverage, as I said, 3 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday, December 19th, MLS Season Pass. It is free, F-R-E-E, nearly 400 players eligible. The Super Draft Tracker on MLSsoccer.com is your best bet to go follow that one if you're not able to actually watch, which I know it's in the middle of the day. Some of you are working, et cetera, can't sneak your phone to the side. But if you can, go ahead and do that. If you can't, Super Draft Tracker is a great way to do it. There is a change in the rules. We talked about this. Players who are currently eligible, it's no longer Generation Adidas signings for the underclassmen only and college seniors. It's now collegiate sophomores, juniors, and above. So there will still be Generation Adidas contracts. Freshmen and above can sign those. If you are drafted by an MLS club, you still have remaining college eligibility. You do have the option to return to school and further your play at the college level, but you won't be draft eligible in the future. If you're unsigned, your super draft priority is going to be held by that drafting club for approximately 2 years following the super draft. So those are big notes there. And for more on the players available, the best of, and who you might hear their names called on Tuesday, let's listen to an interview with Travis Clark that these guys conducted just a little bit ago.
Okay, we are here now with Travis.
Sorry, I was literally texting. Well, I didn't know we were starting. Okay. All right, I'm in.
Okay, we're here now with Travis Clark, soccer expert, NCAA expert from Top Drawer Soccer. I have a bunch of tabs open right now, and one of them includes the mock draft for 2024 that Travis put out this morning on Top Drawer Soccer. I've subscribed to it for a long time. It is some of the best money I spend every single year. Travis, it's great to have you here. Let's not beat around the bush. This is a sort of a new version of the Super Draft with some new rules, underclassmen able to come into the Super Draft while not on a Generation Adidas contract. How is that going to change the draft? How did that change your job in terms of sort of gauging the draft this year?
Yeah, I think that it makes a difficult and impossible job even harder because you don't know how things will play out, right? Does a team in the top 10 opt to draft a sophomore that's going to end up playing college in 2024? That option is good, I think, for players. I'm not even sure what the rules are at this point or what window they will have to decide. I believe it'll be a day or two in, you know, preseason, and then it'll accelerate some timelines for some players, but I think that it changes things significantly. On the one hand, I think maybe we'll even see fewer teams pass in the second or third round, but I think there's going to be more draft and stash. There were some guys that were drafted in 2023 that were came back, played this. In 2022 for the 2023 draft that came back and played this fall. They have their rights held by MLS teams still, or they can sign as free agents, I believe, whether it's USL or pursue other opportunities. So it's going to change things greatly, I think. But I think the question will be, how soon in the draft does it change things? Will a team in the teens jump on a sophomore who they have a high projection towards, but are maybe comfortable going back to school, playing in the fall of 24, and then trying to crack an MLS team in 2025?
We saw something similar to this a couple of years ago with Jackson Reagan, who was drafted and then went back for another year of college. And then I think out of college signed with the Sounders instead of with the Fire, who had drafted him, played at Tacoma. And now we see at age 25, he becomes one of the better center backs in the league. So there's a pathway now for that sort of draft and stash or slower developmental process compared to a few years ago.
Yeah, part of it was the COVID years, the extra year of eligibility granted by the NCAA for all players that were part of the 2024 season, where they were granted an extra year of eligibility. So that gave a little more flexibility. You're seeing a lot of teams, you know, not necessarily in Jackson Reagan's case, but a lot of players will take another year as a transfer, and a grad student will play in another season somewhere else. So a lot of that was powered by the pandemic. Powered by the pandemic is poor word choice there, but Reagan's an interesting candidate, especially because he was a Sounders Academy player drafted by another team. I believe Seattle had to go out and trade for his rights. So I think there'll be a few more convoluted situations. It will be interesting to see if there are any deals struck for draft rights, I guess, for a year from now, projecting out. So it adds a different wrinkle to the draft for sure that we've never really seen before.
We've talked a lot about the low end of drafts, Jack Elliott, Andrew Privet. And of course, if people go to Top Drawer Soccer, they can see your entire list of all the prospects. But on the high end, we saw Patrick Schulte win MLS Cup. We've talked about Roman Salentano. Who are the big time prospects coming into this draft that everyone needs to know about, that if your team's around the top, they should be exciting about potentially them taking?
Yeah, the that's always kind of powered by the Generation Adidas class. And while I'm not sure the official status of players at this point, from what I understand is that Kamani Stewart-Baines and Steven Anor will be two of the freshmen available. Now, obviously, the Generation Adidas class in previous years, you had to have that GA contract signed in order to get into the draft. Now, there are going to be other players out there. You know, Stewart-Baines and Anor, from people I've talked to, from watching games, those are the two kind of high upside projections, I would say. But they're not by any means the only two. I think there's going to be the conversation around the who's going to be the Duncan McGuire of this draft. And I don't think anybody will be, because I'm still convinced he's on a heater dating back to 2022. but I mean, it's a great story nevertheless. I think the big name from among the senior class, like to have that sort of attacking impact, Logan Farrington is a player from Oregon State. He actually transferred there this past summer. He's basically scored goals wherever he's gone. He was playing Wisconsin-Milwaukee previously. And then with a part of the Clemson National Champions, Usmane Silla, I'm really curious to see how he does. He's a guy that I feel like every single season I projected, hey, this is a potential Generation Adidas signing. And then I believe Tom reported that he might be heading abroad, or at least considering his options, which is, you know, players should always try to look at other options as well. I always encourage players, if they ever ask me their advice, which doesn't happen often. One name that I'm also really interested in terms of the draft and stash, Doyle, you and I have talked about Jacob Merle. Mm-hmm. He's a second-year forward out of Georgetown. He's a Maryland native, was the Gatorade State Player of the Year. I mean, there's a lot of players, and I think the previous conversation of draft and stash is going to make that really hard. You know, there's a Patrick McDonald, who's a really versatile player from Indiana, obviously a proving ground of developing and sending off players to the MLS. There's another Mayer brother, second of three, believe it or not. Yes. So, and I apologize if I pronounce his name wrong. I don't think I've ever gotten the last name. Joey is the second one. I think. Anyway, he's an Indiana center back. We've seen Indiana center backs go on. Nate Jones is a big center back out of Washington. I could keep listening out, guys, but that's not going to be good for audio medium, huh?
Nate, I'm just going to let you keep cooking here. So you just named a lot of the top players. Who's your favorite player outside of that top group?
I think that McDonald, for me, I know that I named him sort of amongst the top echelon, but I think he's a guy who you don't want to make comparisons to any current players because it's such a crapshoot when you're talking college to pros. You're going such a big jump, but someone like Patrick McDonald, for me, he has that versatility where, you know, maybe he's an outside back, maybe he can be a pressing winger, maybe he can be a box-to-box midfielder. So all of those outcomes and options, not to mention the fact that he's at a place that has sent players to the league. And then I think for me as well, Notre Dame has a lot of guys that you can look at too. You had Matthew Rhue, a winger. And I think they'll not be under the radar because they were in the spotlight of the College Cup. But I know that the coaching staff is high on Bryce Bonneau. He's a midfielder. Another kid that came through, actually played for the FC Dallas, one of their club teams, but not the academy team. So they don't have his rights. And he played high school soccer his senior year and was also the national player of the year. He had a really good year, box-to-box midfielder. My concern for him going into school was when, if not, he would stay healthy, and he kind of proved it this fall at Notre Dame. So, again, there's a long list of names. It's such a – it's this interesting process where you can do the work, you can find players, but even then, there's still only a small trickle that are going to make it through just because it's so hard to – as Doyle, I'm stealing your words, it's about fit and opportunity. Are you going to get the right fit and you're going to get the opportunity? And then the player's got to make the most of it. So it's a very challenging thing at this point, considering where the league is at the moment.
Yeah, it's about fit and opportunity and being a center forward drafted by Oscar Bareja. Those are three keys to the draft. You mentioned a player like Patrick McDonald and talked about his versatility. I almost feel like that works against players coming through the draft. I think what teams look for in the draft now is specificity. Like, we need a guy who can do this one particular thing and develop him for one spot, because you don't want a guy who's a C minus at four different spots. You want a guy who could be, you know, a B plus right back and left back, whatever. One of the things that we've seen quite a bit of over the years, but I think it's really sort of turbocharged in the past decade, college attackers coming into MLS and slowly moving back and becoming fullbacks or center backs. We saw it to a lesser degree last year with Andrew Privet, who I think David mentioned. He was a midfielder in college, and he ended up being a starting center back for Charlotte. Is there anybody on this list who catches your eye and you think, yeah, this guy was a midfielder, or this guy was a forward in college, but I think he ends up being an MLS fullback or center back?
Yeah, I think there is also a trend of when we saw the 6'4" forwards come through, they would be left footed and end up trying to be converted to center back from attacker.
I mean, Aaron Long.
Right. Yeah, that's a good example. Alec Hughes, I wonder, you know, Doyle, again, another player that we've talked about a little bit, big striker at UMass, tests very well athletically. Is that something? I think the challenging thing at this point is, if you have that specialization, are you going to really kind of put everything on the line to try to move this back? Now, MLS Next Pro kind of offers that as an opportunity, right? There's the chance to get this college player. Maybe he's on a first team deal, and then you end up bringing him through. I think Kalani Casarienzi is a player that was among the top prospects for the last year's draft, ended up back in school because he didn't either get the GA offer that he was looking for. You know, he's at the University of Washington. He's a center midfielder that, you know, Washington missed the tournament this past fall. Wasn't at quite at their peak, but I think he's probably the name that jumps to mind the most, though I don't want to say he can't play as a defensive midfielder, box-to-box kind of guy in MLS either.
We got time for a couple more questions. What Colorado are doing here, four first round draft picks. Is this Porig Smith identifying what is the money ball term?
Inefficiency?
Yeah, in market inefficiency, or is this pure madness?
Surely he's got to trade down and out, right? We always see that happen on drafts. They just try to a player that a coaching staff likes in a particular corner of the country will come and say, here's $100K of allocation money. Will that happen now more because of this whole draft and stash, or will they pick one guy in the sort of the, with the two, what do they have? The three,
they have two,
is their highest pick, or is it two?
They have two and four. And then I think 15, no, 12. And
they're 21. Just waiting for all the UW players to fall. So Craig Weibel will give them as much money to draft the Huskies. Yeah.
So I think in that case, you're probably looking at a couple of guys you really like that maybe you think go back to school. Maybe Jacob Merle if he falls. I think that you have to look at it in that capacity, because you're not going to find four players that I think would make your first team no matter the situation. Maybe you hope to hit on your top five picks, right? That's where it's a little more common.
One of the things about Colorado last year, they had a very good MLS Next Pro team, but it was an older team for MLS Next Pro. So maybe they actually look at this as, all right, let's take the youngest guys on the board, get them in MLS Next Pro for a year with this team that has a good foundation.
To add to that, Bombito, I think, was number two in minutes played for Super Draft players behind Duncan McGuire last year. Yeah. So they've used the Super Draft immediately. Mm-hmm. Into the team. The other thing, Travis, which we haven't talked about yet, but obviously you're covering the college game across the board, is homegrown signings coming out of college. We've seen a couple already last week from homegrown, less from college, more from Next Pro. Is there any name that stands out there to you that you're excited about potentially being in MLS next year?
Well, I think Tommy Silva is a name to keep an eye out. One way to sort of parse through some of these signings is that, or potential signings, I should say, is you go through the draft eligible list. You know a player has spent a time at an MLS academy. And while some of the information is public, you can kind of put two and two together. You had a few names missing. Two have signed already. Garrison Tubbs went to Atlanta United. And then the other player's name escaped me. I think one of the big names to watch out for is Julian Eystone, a goalkeeper out of the FC Dallas Academy. He played at Duke in the fall. He is one of the biggest humans I've seen in the flesh. Not just a soccer player. I can't remember if the official listing is 6'5" or 6'6", but like, he's every inch that. But when you think of that as a goalkeeper, you think, oh, big lumbering, oh, can't get down, he can beat him low. But this kid moves extremely well, is one of the best, I think, US prospects, no matter the position. He had a good season at Duke. The question now is, does he sign with FC Dallas? Does he look at other opportunities abroad? So I think that's going to be a name to watch for sure. Probably, I would say, the biggest name coming out of the college ranks with ties to an MLS academy.
Julian Eystone live texting Travis Clark.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, my apologies. I don't know what that was.
No problem. All right, this is the last one. You have Kamani Stewart-Baines, Canadian winger, going number one overall to Toronto FC in your mock draft. What is your confidence level in that one, Travis?
Am I going percentage? Let's say like 10%.
There we go.
Toronto. You never know what's going to happen, yeah. Right?
Usually they trade out for allocation money. That's
exactly, yeah. That would be my expectation, but you can't do that in a mock draft. So I think it's sort of the easy way out, right? The Canadian kid goes home. Ontario kid goes home. They didn't get Tejon Buchanan last go round. I don't know if they could have taken him. You kind of look at it as an opportunity to foster and develop a really, really enticing prospect, one who he's sort of in that Daryl DK mold of, if there's one guy from this group who is going to end up getting a transfer fee abroad down the road, he's that profile. He's exciting. He's dynamic. He can make attacking moves. He can make stuff happen. Obviously, he's young. He's got to be consistent. Stephen Enorb may be the, I don't want to say short thing, because there's no such thing as that nowadays in any draft, you could say. But I think that for me, if I'm making the pick, you kind of flip a coin, and then the tiebreaker goes Toronto, Ontario kid. You got to make it that, right? That's the best content.
I think the question just becomes, who's most likely to be a kicker in the NFC East in the future? That's who TFC falls on.
MLS Super Draft legend. Travis Clark, also an MLS Super Draft legend. We will ignore the Victor Wembanyama erasure by saying there's no such thing as a sure thing in any draft anymore. But we appreciate your expertise. We appreciate your time. We appreciate all the tech troubleshooting you were doing as well. Good job on that. And for full coverage of the Super Draft,
go ahead and give Travis a follow on social media and, of course, Top Drawer Soccer. A lot of great stuff there. It's good to see you, buddy. Thanks.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
All right, Doyle. Takeaways from that Clark interview. What do you got? What are you thinking about ahead of the Super Draft?
I mean, I kind of tipped it off there. Travis and I have been talking about the Super Draft for like months and months now. So we see eye to eye on a lot of things. There's one note I do want to make. He mentioned Alec Hughes in particular, big forward from UMass. This kid, he crushed the athletic testing at the combine, like probably the second best overall athlete there. And then I was able to look at his underlying, well, his box score numbers are great. He puts the ball in the back of the net. Then I looked at his underlying numbers, really close to what Duncan McGuire did in 2022. Now, I'm not predicting this guy will be the next Duncan McGuire type of player, but like in terms of what I would look for if I was running an MLS team, he's clearly enough of an athlete to be an MLS player. He knows how to play the position, and he's like plus physicality. That's one. Jacob Merle, who Travis mentioned, he's another interesting one because he's still just a teenager, but his underlying numbers are very good. His box score numbers are very good. The one thing I noticed, he's a big kid. He's like 6'3". Doesn't win much in the air. And just watching the tape and then looking at the numbers, it's just pure strength. So this is a kid, like, talked about draft and stash. Like, this is a kid who you say, all right, we get him into a professional weight room, we can do something with him and we could turn him into a horse. And then the final note I'll give is, like, there are a lot of center backs in this draft. Like, I think that this draft is going to be known for center forwards and center backs in particular. A kid by the name of Hugo Bagherak from University of Indiana. He is, or Indiana University, however they want to call it. He is Spanish, so he would require an international roster slot. But he has a amazing soft feet. He played in central midfield in college because of that. But he has center back size, like 6'3" or so. Did really well on the athletic testing, particularly in terms of quickness. So. A lot of the stuff you look for, like those are three names that jumped out to me just from the games I was able to watch, the tape that I went through, and then the underlying numbers. Those three guys sort of jumped out at me as ones to keep an eye on. But as always, like even more so this year than in years past, it's kind of a crapshoot because of the new rules. And I think that means we're going to see teams approach it in a new and different way. And if you're a Rapids fan, you got to tune in. Like the Rapids are clearly the team that are putting more into this than anybody else. And they have the ability, I think, to get, you know, two, maybe even three guys who stick around long term. And if you do that from one draft, you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, a lot of fascinating stories in this draft. Backrex, an interesting one as well, was in Villarreal's academy for 10 years, switched to midfield at Indiana after transferring over from Farley Dickinson. Yeah, but was a center back there and changed their season.
Yeah.
Pushed him in the midfield and was like, hey, I got the feet. I got the talent. I figured it out. All right, let's go to Tommy Scoops' notebook. We will, I guess we won't be breaking down the Super Draft because this is our last show of the year. Oh, weird. Weird. You just have to listen to the Super Draft. Watch all the analysis. So, biggest news, Tom. Derek Jones perhaps to Columbus, right? Am I right about that? I mean, maybe for our panel here. But Emil Forsberg to the Red Bulls. It is done.
Yep. Yeah, that's done.
He just likes playing for Red Bulls.
Yeah, he's joining in the winter. He'll have a full preseason, which is very important. I think this is an awesome signing. One, I think that he's still got a lot left in his legs. He's 32, but like the kind of player he is, this profile should age well, even in the energy drink soccer, even in the high pressing transition. They desperately needed an elite attacker, and they have a chance with Forsberg. And I think the most interesting part of this signing, or one of the most interesting parts. In 2022, the Red Bulls had exactly one player over 25 start more than one game. That was Aaron Long. Last year, I think Corey Burke was the only player above 27 or 28 that had like any minutes, and I think he had like 900. Like, so they're signing a 32-year-old. This is a win now move. This is something that I think we've all been critical of this team, that your identity can still be youth first, but it shouldn't be a U25 team. And Emil Forsberg shows that, like, it does come from within the family, per se, with the Red Bulls, but at least it shows that here comes a star. This is not somebody that they're buying from South America or Europe to sell on. This is, hey, can you come here and help us win games?
How does it work now with Luquinhas, 27, Lewis Morgan. Look, I'm still on that hopeful train for Lewis
Morgan. I'd rather keep him than Lukinius.
I'm still hoping for Lewis Morgan to come back to his elite level. And then now Forsberg. And then you would think, so, I guess, Dante Van Zier. So, I mean, based on the number bottom four.
I don't know what the new head coach, Sandro Schwartz, will play. But this is really set up for like a 4-2-2-2-2 with Van Zier and Elias Manoel up top, or Corey Burke, or whoever, you know, for that second slot. And then, you know, Forsberg.
That's the chatter in Brooklyn coffee houses.
Forsberg and Lewis Morgan. I'm not sure if Lukinius will be back or not, because I think it'd be most advantageous for them if they had, like, Lewis Morgan or somebody occupying the third DP spot, just to have all three U22 initiatives. But we'll kind of see how that happens over the next month or two.
You could also play a 4-2-3-1. Forsberg normally plays off the left for Red Bull in
and that let Tolkien overlap.
And yeah,
and Sandro also Schwartz has traditionally been a 4-3-3 guy. Based at, I didn't watch a lot of Dinamo Moscow.
I was going to say
big terrible hurt the Berlin team, but just like looking through the game data, like they played more 4-3-3 than anything.
Also, unless you play Charlotte in the playoffs, Elias Manoel is like the worst forward in the league. So to go into the season starting him would feel bold, but we've seen it before.
Fair enough. Some other news?
No. Yeah, you know, LA Galaxy bidding for Ramon Sosa.
Yeah.
But Tayaris is thinking, hey, look, we got a bunch of money for Pochettino back in the day. Why can't we get a little bit more at the Galaxy? What's happening here? 12.5 million?
Yeah.
And they want more?
The Galaxy bid, a club record bid of 12.5 million for Paraguay international winger Ramon Sosa from Tayaris. And the negotiations, I was talking to sources about this in the negotiations at first. I was like, you know, advanced talks, and it was like, yeah, you know, it was advanced talks. And then, you know, their counter offer was just pure insanity. So I don't know if advanced talks is fair now. But they've gone back and forth. They're still talking. But like the reporting out of South America is that Tayaris want 15 million. And Galaxy, I don't think, are going to go up to 15. But maybe that's just a negotiating ploy. We'll see. This one makes too much sense. Like, I don't know who's bidding against the Galaxy. Like, Tayaris, if they don't take this kind of bid, I don't see where the $15 million bid is coming from. So this makes too much sense to not happen. But, you know, and not everybody's always rational. His profile that I'll kick to Doyle again, not that we watched a ton of Tayaris, to be fair, but his underlying numbers, everything that I've talked to people at the Galaxy about, he fits really well with Ricky Pucci. He's a dribbler. He's kind of like, he's a goal scorer for a winger. Like his numbers in Argentina in terms of expected goals, shot creating actions, and just goals per 90 are on the higher end for wingers. And for a team that has Ricky Pucci in the middle and then Diego Fagundes as the other winger, who's another kind of creative player, that DP winger has to be somebody who adds goals.
Yeah, and that is the profile based upon the clips. And I think I watched Tayaris play one game and I don't remember him at all. But like, just based upon the clips and then the underlying numbers, he's the guy who, if you get him in isolation against a defender, he can beat that guy, get to the end line, and then hit pullbacks for presumably a new DP number 9.
Correct.
Anything on that?
I got nothing on that, but DP winger, DP 9 is their plan. Yeah.
I would throw out his numbers are similar age to Tomas Chunkalai, who's been very good for New England. Not as much of a goal scorer, doesn't shoot as often, and that's something Chunkalai's done well. But in terms of dribbles, progressive take, carries, trying to move the ball forward, a lot of what the Galaxy do goes from one sideline to the other. So moving in the other direction could be positive. He would be that, and he would fit the model of like the Kuns, we're going to go younger, we're going to change the type of player we sign. But you can imagine for Argentine team, they see the Galaxy's name come across the phone and they're like, yeah, cool. David Beckham, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zlatan, Chicharito, cool.
Saw the transfer fee for guys like Almada and others. Like, oh, we'll try to get a piece of that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Tomas Pochettino is playing a number of games in Brazil for Fortaleza.
Fortaleza just hired they just hired San Jose's former director of scouting to be their sporting director.
Bruno?
Yeah. And they have who is the attacker for Atlanta that didn't work out? I know that's a why.
Yeah.
Martinez.
You have to narrow that one down Lopez? A little bit.
No, the Marcelino Moreno, I'm pretty sure he played. Like that's random. Like, and Chayo Alexandre plays there, the Vancouver.
Chayo Alexandre.
Wow. Like, Forzatello has been like a hotspot for like MLS player that didn't work out, throw him there. And so, like, I just think that's my favorite.
It's a quick flight. It's so far north in Brazil. Yeah, I think it's the northern city.
How quick is the flight from Atlanta to Cincinnati? Is Miles Robinson going to make that one? Are the moving trucks headed that way? What's going on here?
Yeah, so Miles Robinson visited FC Cincinnati on the first day of free agency. And that's, you know, you don't need a lot of deductive reasoning to put together that is a big news that that's where he chose to go in the first day.
Did you get any good details? You know, I always think back to, like, you know, college recruiting visits. They got you, like, they got the newspaper where it's like, you know, Miles Robinson wins MLS Cup for the FC Cincinnati. Like, any creative flourishes here?
The stadium said Miles for Cincy, and then the scoreboard said, like, welcome to Cincy, Miles Robinson. So, like, they laid it out like that. And again, like, Miles Robinson is an MLS free agent. I think a lot of us assume maybe he was going to go to Europe or stay at Atlanta. I do know that a lot of MLS teams were very interested in Miles Robinson, as they should. I think every team should be calling about a 26-year-old free agent center back at, you know, if you can get him on, you know, under a DP level, which you would have to in free agency. I will say that it was targeted which teams that Miles Robinson and his camp seriously engaged with. And so since he wasn't like the beginning of his, like, oh, where am I going to go? It was like, all right, there's only a few teams that I think that it makes sense for me if I'm going to stay in this league. And if you had to ask me right now, I'd say FC Cincinnati is absolutely the favorite to be Miles Robinson's next club.
What a wild world we live in. That FC Cincinnati 2 years ago, no one would go there. Last year, Matt Hedges didn't choose to go there. Obviously,
Matt Hedges didn't choose to go there because they offered him a one-year deal. Sure. And then Toronto was like, here's 2 years plus two. And I think since he made the right.
But Miles Robinson, top three or four center back in the league, on the verge of being the starter at the national team in the prime of his career, choosing to go to Cincinnati is just a massive step for that team. But it makes sense. They're going to win. He goes there. He steps in. He walks through that door. He is going to be must watch. They are going to be must watch. They are probably they're an MLS Cup favorite. He, I think, fits the system perfectly as well, because he won't be the middle. It will probably be Miazga still. He'll replace Mascara, or if they can bring Mascara back, the three of them along the back line. And he can go step forward a little bit, hunt the ball, win the ball back higher up the field. They're dangerous on set pieces already. Oh, it's a perfect fit for him. Yeah. And it should scare every other team in MLS.
And clearly, you know, he will have an opportunity to know what's going on behind those doors. Mm-hmm. Brandon Vasquez spent a ton of time with him. Like, if he wants to know what it's like to be in that environment after enduring some very strange environments, clearly with Atlanta over the last few years, he has a good feel for that. Mm-hmm. Ah, interesting. What's Atlanta do now, though?
Two center backs that I know that they have high on their list. A Norwegian international by the name of Stian Gregersen. He would be more in the Miles Robinson mold. He'd be expensive. And he would be at
Norwegian international.
Yeah,
I kind of expect Anders to come, like, busting through the wall like the Kool Aid man
in a Viking hat.
So that's somebody that I know that they're at the top of his discovery list. I believe that they're working on. I know there's a couple. He's been linked with a few MLS teams over the years. So he's somebody who's kind of been in the profile of that teams are looking for. And then another name, free agent Jonathan Mensah, which makes sense because
they would still
need more center backs, even if they sign Stian Gregersen. But again, Mensah shouldn't be viewed as the Miles Robinson replacement. Like, I don't think that they would sign Mensah and expect him to play 34 games, right? Like, that'd be more so for Gregersen.
So how about, let's see, take your pick here.
Free agency.
What's your free agent? Draw a card here. What's your favorite free agent knowing that you have?
I'll start with Julian Gressel. I know that I've been reporting this for a few days, but nothing that I've heard has changed my mind that Julian Gressel into Miami is what I'm expecting. Nothing's done or signed yet, but again, I know Tata Martino loves him. It's a really good fit. Again, New England were somebody who's interested as well. It was described to me last week as a 2-horse race, and I think at this point we're very, very close to it just being just one horse galloping, maybe with Messi on his back.
And listening to this man talk about it, he sounds like a doctor giving a diagnosis. He's like, all the information I have points to this. So I think that sounds like
I'm a nerd.
Tom just went into danger.
He was like the monotone. Here's all the information I have.
It just sounded like he's like checking doctors down. He's like in the DMC-5 or whatever.
Tom goes to doctors who are vibes. Just if they get the health stuff right, it's just a convenience.
Like, Florida doctors, it's like, hey, where'd you go to medical school? I don't know.
Jersey doctors, what it sounds like.
How about Omer Fernandez?
Yeah, I hope that by the time you listen to this later, this can be accompanied by a story for me to confirm it. But as of right now, I can say I've been hearing Omer Fernandez to the Colorado Rapids is something that
makes sense.
Is close.
So on last week's show, David and I talked about this. It does feel like last year. Yeah, we talked about Omer, and he's got soccer in him, and it's not just press with him, right? Like, he's not one of those sort of robots that Red Bull can produce. Is this an indication that under Chris Armas, Colorado is going to try to be a little bit more of a, or how about a little bit less of an energy drink soccer team than maybe the Red Bulls were.
Yeah, they won't be quite like the Red Bulls. Like, again, like that's the Red Bulls identity. But I do know that the Chris Armas hire and everything that I was talking to that organization about through the coaching process is that, like, we are leaning back into transition.
Did they consult you on the hire?
I wish I could get some money.
That was really impressive.
They're leaning into transition. Like,
I mean, you know, through intermediaries.
That was part of the interview process. So again, that doesn't mean that they're going to be all out like Red Bully soccer, but they're not going to be a possession based team, right? They're not going to be Wilfred Nancy's crew. They're going to be somebody. They're going to try to look much more like the 2021 crew, the 2021 Rapids, and that's kind of their goal to get back to that.
Yeah, you'd assume also, like, who are the other players that Chris is intimately knowledgeable of that are available, right? So while Omer is more soccer than a lot of other Red Bull players, he's also the one that's available.
Right.
Maybe Chris would have gone for, I don't know, Daniel Edelman if he was a free agent or whatever it was. But I think it's exciting for Colorado fans in that he's capable of both, because there was times where he was the brain and the paws of Red Bulls. The only one on the field that wasn't just running directly into a wall.
Did you say brain and paws?
The brain or the paws, like La Pausa.
I thought that you were saying like Red Bull, like bull paws. Like
I thought you were talking about they have hooves.
Yeah, that's why I was like, what's going on here? Yeah. I still liked it though, Gossip.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
It hit.
Clearly. He didn't fully understand it, but he...
Right. Yeah.
It did remind me of a scene in Goodfellas, but we don't need to get into that.
All right. How about Philly? Kai Wagner, Alejandro Bedoya. They're saying that they were talking, but didn't seem like there was much talking when I was at MLS Cup between Bedoya and the Union. Has the talking begun?
Latest I've heard is that they're cautiously optimistic about Alejandro Bedoya return. And again, nothing's done there, but they feel definitely better about it than when they told him he wasn't.
What's
in the
diagnosis? Bones. Are we by the bedside?
I think that they're looking good for him to come back. But again, nothing, like you said, nothing's going to be done until it's done. And with Kai Wagner, they haven't given up hope yet. But I do know Red Star Belgrade is coming in for him pretty hard. And that's something he's considering. They haven't, the last I've checked, which was a couple days ago, they hadn't gotten a resolution from Kai Wagner yet. And again, it depends on who you talk to at that organization, who's more optimistic or less optimistic. If I had to say one, it's more likely that Bedoya comes back than Wagner. But I guess we'll see kind of how that all progresses.
Boy, Red Star has become the new Fortaleza.
Right? Milos Deganic, Alexander Katai.
Yeah, I saw that in the Champions League, huh?
Wong and Baum.
Cade Cowell, another bid.
Yeah.
It's time. It truly is time.
I was honestly a little worried that like they missed the boat on Cade in the summer with Bologna. I do know that, like, believe that people around him were fearful of that too. But as of now, I've heard that the San Jose have received another bid. This is from Europa League club. Not sure what club it is. Nothing has been kind of advanced yet or anything. But again, we're going to hear more about Cade Cowell and, you know, whether it's time to go. Now, I know we had this show a couple times in the summer. I think that we're all in agreement, right? That, you know, if the offer's right or reasonable, you got to move him on and see what happens next with his career and open up that pipeline that they're talking so great about. And they have a lot of good academy kids coming through. And they just signed David Goss's guy, Preston Judd. You got to make room. So I don't know.
Why does Dave get to claim Preston Judd?
I don't know. I was just,
because I said the Galaxy were in a holding pattern this year. It didn't matter who they signed in the pre-show, which you missed, because they gave up on Preston Judd.
Okay.
So it was clearly a year that they were resetting. Cade Cowell had one goal and three assists last year. If you get anything, I think you have to learn from the Kakanovic thing and just say, seriously, you need to make your first sale.
I agree.
You need to start to have, if Cade Cowell goes to Europe and plays well, you have sell on. I think Cade Cowell will play well because I think this team was set up a little bit too much around him, and he just needs to be a guy in a team where he can get 1v1 opportunities. And it's this point, San Jose needs something more reliable in that spot anyway. They need to bring in a starter. Like, they need a starting winger who has high-level production. So if they go into the year starting Cowell, Abobasi, Espinoza across the front line with a similar number 10, then they are going in saying, we don't really have a good chance at finishing high in the standings. Like, you are sort of accepting what last year was. So if moving Cowell on is part of that, even if it's not the big deal, it should happen this winter.
Agree.
There you go.
Hold on to Binji Kakanovic with both hands. Never let him go. Never let him go. Well, speaking of things that tend to flee the roost here, Montreal looking for a head coach still. Pa Modukah has interviewed. That's good news. We love Pa. Yep. Laurent Courtois has interviewed as well, which, I mean, that was a given. I think that very obvious one for them to check in on. And then also word out there that Gio Savarese from John Molinaro, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Tony Molinaro reported.
Tony Molinaro, Gio, sorry.
I reported on Pa and Laurent Courtois and Sophie and... there's other reporters in Montreal that reported on.
You don't have to report on the reporters, Tom. That's not your responsibility.
I just feel good about giving credit because
I think it's the right thing to do.
But that's there haven't been much that's been coming out of Montreal about this coaching search. I believe Courtois is not a finalist. Pa Maduka is. We'll kind of see where they go from here. Again, I don't know how they could have three finalists or 14. Who knows?
Gio seems like a weird fit.
Yeah.
Because we talked about this on last week's show.
What if he's been learning French? Who knows?
What if he already knows French?
He speaks like four languages.
Yeah, he's a brilliant.
I would not be surprised if this man knows French.
Just, it's Olivier Renard's project.
Mm-hmm.
And Gio is of a stature in terms of his success in this league where I think he'll go someplace and happily work hand in hand with a prominent sporting director. But I don't think he would want to be sort of the junior partner in any.
I agree with you there.
We also were saying at the same time, like for Montreal, they need to hire a coach like the players they're looking for, which is long-term projects.
Yeah.
Young, unproven, because they're getting more quality maybe, but unknown. That's where Pa Maduka, I think, fits in. He has said he wants to play young players, and that's what Olivier Renard wants. And you can't have someone who is going to be overly swayed by short-term results.
Yeah.
I think that was part of probably what happened with Losada, besides the fact that they didn't understand what style of soccer he's played his entire life was like losses. So then you go to veterans to try and rewrite the ship when there are more long-term projects of like trying to develop guys that you're going to sell. Feels like he's a good fit. He speaks 18 languages as well. He has worked in Canada already with two different clubs. So it would seem like that fit makes a lot of sense compared to Losada and compared to other names we've heard with other coaching spots in MLS.
Go Pa. Go Paw for Montreal. Would love to see it. Would love to see it. We've got to get out of here in a second, so I'm going to read through some of these, and we'll get to some great mail that we got. Villarreal, bid rejected for Mattia Akinboni, the young DC United center back.
He wouldn't be able to move until he turns 18 next fall, so next winter.
Columbus and Derek Jones finalizing a deal. That's awesome.
I could not love this move.
I love that.
Because I can't quit Derek Jones. So many. He's 26 years old. He has so many tools, and to give him to Wilfred Nancy,
perfect.
No ceiling, man. Center
back, driving forward out of the back, playing in the middle.
I don't care. Center back, central wherever. Midfield, doesn't matter.
Ladero to San Jose rumor here. What
on earth is Maddie this? Scoops.
What is this?
Just
throwing it out there?
Someone who's connected put me on that one. I haven't been able to run it down or anything, but everyone thinks that Ladero is going to end up in MLS. Obviously, there are plenty of DP slots open in San Jose, and they did just let their number 10, Jamiro Montero, walk. It makes a certain amount of sense to me.
Okay. Would love to see him here, and we end here. From the Cuppy Cup crew, hey, fellas, I wanted to share our story with y'all, and Maria asked us to do so that you can give us sickos a shout-out on the pod. We call our
Maria
group Cuppy Cup. We're a tight-knit group of college friends who talk soccer constantly and go to MLS Cup every single year. We started going in 2015 when a group of four of us drove from Utah to Columbus. Since then, we've only missed 1 year, 2016, for a friend's wedding and the COVID year 2020. So that's 2 years.
2 years.
But 2020 will let you have that one. Our group rule is that we must wear our respective team's jerseys to Cup. Sometimes there's a road trip involved since we're all coming from different parts of the country now, but one of the most thrilling parts of the trip is not knowing where we're going until a week before in most cases. We love getting surprise looks and shout outs from random fans, ex-players, MLS media, or MLS execs. We have a subreddit that keeps track of every year, r/CuppyCup. Check it out. Thanks for the league coverage, hot takes, good laughs, and thanks for the scarf, Weeby. See y'all next year in Dale Dynamo. No Dorsey, no party. The Cuppy Cup crew.
I got to take this. Be right back.
Are you serious? Awesome.
Beautiful. That is the way.
Beautiful way to end the final show of 2023. Tom exits the premise.
I wish we had a lav mic on him and he didn't know and we were just listening.
I thought that was fake.
God. Yeah.
I thought that was a bit. I thought I was set up, but I wasn't.
That's why he's got to get a flip phone.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Tommy
Super
Scoops.
Draft, 3 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. Watch it for free on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. We will see you in the new year. The studios here will be shut down for maintenance, so it will be all audio only in January. So if you do not subscribe to the podcast on your you know, preferred podcatcher, please do so. That's where we'll find you in January. We will see you then. Enjoy your holidays. Be with your friends, your family, all the people you care about. Be safe, be happy, be full, be merry.
And if you have free time, tweet at Tom. He loves to.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll run to get that message or
him.
Reply.
DM him. I will pass on. My DMs are open. I'll pass DMs on from me to him via text.
Don't DM me, but tweet at Tom.
Yeah, I don't think yours are open.
Okay.
And if they are, don't check. All right, everybody. Enjoy your holidays. Adios.